yeah, we'll make changes. You know, it was always part of the plan. You know, we don't kid ourselves on how tough this championship is this year. You know, there is no Blackpool. There is no Wigan, who are tipped for promotion and then suddenly fight themselves in a real relegation battle and change of managers. So I always thought it would be tougher at the start, and it's proven the case. But yeah, we'll make changes, but they'll be selective. We don't have enough numbers to make 11, believe it or not, but we'll make some changes.
So it's not wholesale changes then, just a few adjustments here and there?
Yeah, absolutely. We don't have enough to make 11, so that possibly tells you if it's 6 or 7, it's possibly what we've got. We have a 21, 22 man squad, so, and that includes everyone, including kids. So they're not obviously going to be involved, given the class of player that Alec Neil can choose from.
What about Joe Matic? Didn't play at the weekend against QPR. Is he back available for selection?
Oh, he's 50-50. He was 50-50 the day before we went down to play Nottingham Forest and come in and felt right to play. So we'll see how he is tomorrow. I would say erring on the side of caution. If he's 50-50, not any better, but tomorrow we would leave him for the weekend.
What about Richie as well?
Same with Richie. Just felt his hamstring on Saturday. He's just feeling it slightly this morning. He had that last year, exactly the same thing, and it was 3 or 4 days to clear it up. Well, Saturday to Tuesday could be maybe just maybe a day too early for him, but we'll see tomorrow.
Now, you went with Johnson Clark-Harris at the weekend up front. Just recap on the game. How impressed were you with him?
Oh, I think he was terrific. I think the kid was nowhere near our thoughts 10 days ago, but he had come in for a chat and his training suddenly went up and he started playing with a real purpose in training. And that got him onto the bench, really, for the game against Preston. And we were poor against Preston for large parts, but we brought him on, and he was the one spark of life. And listen, I think if you walk into Loftus Road on Saturday and you don't know who's playing against Queen's Park Rangers, first and foremost, you think the visitors are a decent side because we're the dominant side. And you think a large part of that was down to Big John out front, who covered every inch for us. I was really, really pleased for the kid. But he set a standard. That's the standard that we signed him to play at, and he has to attain that standard or go out, unfortunately.
And of course it's up to him now to kind of put him at the forefront of your mind for selection.
Well, he came in and he asked for an opportunity, and we said demonstrate it in training, because it hadn't been, and he did. And then we said, well, go and demonstrate against Preston. That last 15 minutes go and show us that you can prove a point rather than talking papers or talking radios, and because all the players like doing that. And he did, and then spoke to him on Friday and said he was going to be starting on. I spoke to him on Saturday morning, said he was going to be starting, and he was obviously delighted. But we said he set a standard, so keep opening up. I thought it was excellent. He got a bit tired later on, but that was to be expected.
Do you stick with him up front for Norwich?
I might do. I might change it. Alec Neil will know about 6:45, I think.
Because obviously it's a chance for him to maybe cement a place and push himself into the forefront for starters.
Yeah, the first thing you would just tamper it down a little bit by saying one good performance doesn't put you in front of the likes of Matt Derbyshire and Danny Ward. You know, they got him on the pitch on Saturday in front of Danny Ward because of his performance against as a substitute against Preston. But we've got some good players. You know, when you look at Ward and Derbyshire, they're good players. So Jono has to split those to be in.
How do you look back at the game against QPR at the weekend now you've had a bit of time to reflect on it?
Well, we've looked at it individually with the staff, and we've looked at it, of course, with the players themselves. I think for 45 minutes, as I said, if you walk into the stadium, you don't know who the teams are, you'd probably think it was Queen's Park Rangers against Middlesbrough. Because I think we were a dominant side, our shape was good, we were in the attacking third more times than any other stage this season, certainly more times than QPR, and you know, it's a bit of a kick really when you go in 1-0 down at half time. It's a bit of blow. They hit us on the counter attack, some great play with them, some real quality in the goal with Boy Cherry, some great play by Austin, etc. But you come out second half and you think we contributed towards giving them two quick goals, and that sort of kills you a bit. But then there was another local radio station, I think it might be this one, who was saying that we lack character in their dressing room. I don't think that's ever going to be a question of us as a team. And we displayed some character. We got it back to 3-2. And then the referee probably gives a penalty that, even in the words of the referee's body at the head of it, don't think it is a penalty now. So it's quite amazing that, isn't it? We have won at Forest that they think we should have for us that we don't get. And they think that we shouldn't win against us on Saturday, that the opposition does get. But there you go. The calls take place Saturday night, Sunday mornings and Monday mornings, and it doesn't make no difference to the result.
What do you learn about your team from a game like that?
Well, you learn that. I heard Sam Allardyce talk on television yesterday, and he talked about the difference of teams that win games. They take chances when they come at big moments in the game. And we can look at every game that we've played this season. We looked at the opening day against MK Dons. We're 1-1. We missed three easy chances to go 2-1 up. Goals change games, and then we look as if we've been heavily punished, and we were heavily punished. And at the City Ground, we should turn 2, possibly 3-0 up at half-time, and we turn 1-1. So, you know, and the same at Loftus Road, we turn 1-0 down, and the two best chances of a half fall to us. So if you don't take chances, and at the high you go in football, you get punished. And Sam was talking about the Premier League, but I think it's evident all the way down the leagues.
What do you know about Norwich and the job that Alex Neil's done?
Well, we all know what the job he's done. You know, he came from Hamilton Accies when no one knew him in English football. A brave appointment by David McNally, who runs Norwich City. And they plucked Alex from Hamilton, and everyone in football, including myself, who's that? I knew who he was, of course, but not know him. I've got to know him particularly well since then on the pro licence. And you know, you look at some of the things he does, and you can understand why he got Norwich firing the way he did last year. He's got fantastic players, of course. That was the team that Norwich had in the Premier League 2 seasons ago, and they were kept assembled in the Championship. But arguably, he's got them playing some super football. I've watched the DVDs of their draw on Saturday to Stoke and their home loss to Crystal Palace, in which, you know, I've just said on somewhere else, the media, that I don't know if Crystal Palace thought they were eagles or seagulls, but they were, the Canaries were out playing them, you know. And that's me talking about the birdies. So it's, he's done a fantastic job in summary.
And he's only made a couple of alterations, a few adjustments going into this next season.
Yeah, listen, I think he'll be by his phone 24/7 till the deadline. I think they'll be trying to spend millions of pounds, Norwich. I think if they don't, they're going to be in the fight at the bottom end, aren't they? That's the rigours of the Premier League. But Alec Neil will try and spend it, but he'll try and spend it shrewdly and wisely. Like David McNally runs a very tip ship at Norwich, and it's why they're admired around the country for being such a fantastic football club. Not only have they got great supporters, and not only have they got good people behind them, but they've got some really exciting players. He's got about 30 in his squad, and he'll be trying to add one or two of the little bits of gold dust that can make them kick on the Premier League. And it won't be a surprise for me if Alec Neil kicks Norwich on the Premier League. I think really, really highly of the young man.
How good is it to draw a Premier League club, especially at home and in this competition as well?
Well, we played them as a Championship club, not only recently, of course, when we were the club that drew with them here, and it stopped them the chances of going automatically to the Premier League. So, but you can only be asked to be at home in the Cup. It doesn't matter who you play. It was difficult enough to beat Cambridge United in the last round in there in League Two. So the Cup ties are always difficult. We just have to make sure tomorrow night, for us to progress, we need to have in top of your game, they have a really good performance, and hope Norwich that are a yard down.
And going back to that game at the tail end of last season, when, you know, everything's on the line for you guys, a 1-1 draw there, a really competitive game as well.
Yeah, I think if it had stayed 11-11, we'd have got beat 4-0. We didn't get a touch for about 20 minutes. And then young Lewis Grabban, who I'm sure we'll see tomorrow night, has a little punch at, I think it was Craig Morgan off the ball, or Kirk Broadfoot 182. And from that, he gets sent off. He's never done that or displayed that before, and then does it. But it was a game then that they probably feel, and me and Alec discussed this, of course, during the summer on the pro licence, that he felt if it had been 11-11, they'd have won 3 or 4. And we felt when it did go 11-10, we should have won it. And we both agreed with each other's sentiments. So it's a real tough test for us tomorrow night. We don't kid ourselves.
Talked a bit about the transfer window there. Are you closer to any ins or outs?
Well, we're not closer, but we're going to try and do some business. We have to do some business. It's very, very evidential to us and the staff that we need to get stronger. But it's tough for us. You know, we realise that we don't have the resources of some, and that's been proved only recently as the last few days or last week, when we think we're getting a couple of players, and then we just can't get the same resources that's elsewhere in this league. But we have to accept that.
Where are you in particular are you looking to strengthen? Is this a midfield or a defence?
Well, we'd like to strengthen the midfield area. I hear people say we've got lots of options in the central midfield area, but we're actually small with it. We have 3 central midfield players. It's amazing what people think, isn't it? And that's probably what people think, rather than sitting and writing it down and seeing what you've actually got. So we need to have a look at that department and maybe one or two other departments as well.
Been linked with Callum McGregor. Any kind of truth in that at all?
Listen, he's a super footballer. Understanding is that Celtic would only ever do business if it's a permanent, and very similar to Southampton Football Club. I think there's a lot of people probably waiting to see what Glasgow Celtic do in the Champions League.
Did you see him play at the weekend against Dundee?
I didn't see him personally play, no.
But did you follow the kind of TV coverage at all?
Yeah, I've seen a report on the game. I've seen some footage of the game, and you know, Callum had a good game at Tannadice.
One other name that has been kind of around in the media that I have to ask you about, is it whether it be rumour or otherwise, Jerry Barton, kind of thoughts are in and around that?
Listen, he's a fantastic footballer. I don't think we can afford Joey's petrol. Never mind Joey. Do you know what I mean? And if Joey then tweets that he's got a Mini, I'm gobsmacked. But I think our problem would be funding Joey's Ferrari or whatever he's driving to Rotherham from where he lives. Listen, I think he's an outstanding footballer. I think when I seen West Ham linked to him, I thought he'd be signing. And I listened to the West Ham players thinking that he would be a terrific signing. If Joey Barton wants to come and play from Royal United, give me a ring, Joey.